You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning and welcome to our worship service, the second Sunday in Lent. Our opening hymn, the hymn of invocation number 773, Hear Us, Father, When We Pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "It was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord." Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So she was a Gentile woman, Canaanite, not a Jew, not one of God's chosen people. And she certainly was not a Pharisee or teacher of the Jewish law, studying God's word in the temple in Jerusalem. And she was not one of Jesus' 12, the 12 disciples, with that firsthand experience and witness of his miracles and his teachings. And yet she knew something that these other people apparently did not know. And she believed it so strongly that Jesus exclaimed, "A woman, you have great faith." Jesus and his disciples had just finished some pretty extensive ministry and had an intense encounter with the Pharisees when this woman approached them. They had withdrawn to get away and were probably looking forward to some peace and quiet. They had tried to get away before, but the people kept following them. Thousands of people followed Jesus and his disciples. They were hungry for his teaching, desperate for healing. And with compassion, he took care of all of them. Spiritually and physically, he fed everybody who followed him, the 5,000 men plus the women and children, until they were all satisfied. There were even leftovers. And then, after feeding the crowds, Jesus and the disciples went to the other side of the lake. Again, word spread. People brought their sick, and everyone who touched him was healed. Again, Jesus and his disciples withdrew from the crowds to an area where they were less well known, and this is where the Canaanite woman comes to Jesus. Her daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. I could only imagine what she's going through, the daughter and the mom. The woman is crying out repeatedly to Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Somehow, this Gentile woman, outside of the region, she knows that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and that he can do something. And this poor mother has helplessly watched her daughter suffer from these demons, these evil forces beyond her control, and she believes that Jesus can help. She keeps crying out. At first, Jesus does not answer a word. The disciples step in, "Send her away. She keeps crying out after us." Jesus answers, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." She understands. He was sent only to the Jews. But she's not deterred. She worshipfully bows before him, "Lord, help me." He replies, "It's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the little dogs." Again, she understands his meaning. His ministry is to the Jews. She is a Gentile dog. She doesn't argue, turn away. She agrees, "Yes, Lord. For even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Consider how amazing this is. She approaches Jesus out of this great need and distress for her daughter. At first, Jesus doesn't answer a word. He's silent. She pleads for mercy. The disciples try to get rid of her. Jesus refers to her as a dog. But she doesn't give up or appear offended in any way. She seems to know something. She doesn't take Jesus' words as an insult, but as a reason to believe. Well, what about you? How would you react? Maybe you know. What does it feel like when you plead to God and you don't hear an answer? And if so, what do you do? How do you respond when you cry out to God and you hear nothing? Silence does test our faith. It tests our faith in the promises that God has clearly made to you. Promises are recorded in the Bible. Promises of forgiveness of sins. Promises of rescue from death and the devil, promises to overcome evil, promises to eternal salvation to those who believe, promises of peace, even in the midst of hardship, promises that he will be with you always. But what happens when we pray, we just hear silence, or we hear an answer we don't want? Do we think of God as cold, distant, that he doesn't care about us? Do we see God as an angry judge, and we're intimidated or afraid of him? We think of God as a little stingy, giving his riches, but only selectively, carefully measured, so we're reluctant to ask him for anything. We think God is too tired or too busy, or we may not want to bother him. Maybe we don't think he'd really be interested in our little concerns. He seems so petty. We pray for health. We've been sick, had a fall or surgery, and or some other setback, and we feel weak, tired, to be healthy again. Silence, or worse, mobility decreases, our strength is diminished, our pain increases. Or we ask for peace and happiness amongst our family and our friends, but stubbornness and pride appear in them and us. Words are angry. Silence goes far too long, and we wonder, why doesn't God do something? Are we just dogs? We don't even get the crumbs? When the answer is silence or one we don't want, what do we believe about God? What did the Canaanite woman believe? She kept asking. What was it that gave her such great faith? What did she know? What did she understand that the disciples and the teachers of the law did not seem to understand? What did she believe so much that caused Jesus to exclaim, "Oh woman, you have great faith"? Somehow this woman knew of Jesus and the promises God had made about him, and she believed it. Maybe she had heard about the promises written in the prophets. God had promised that he would make salvation and righteousness available to all people. Yes, his promise was to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. His house is for all people, for all nations, regardless of skin color or background or language spoken, regardless of the official religion of the nation. There's plenty of room. He provides access, and he brings us in by Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David. I don't know what the Canaanite woman believed, but we know that she believed in Jesus. Her faith was in him. He's not just the promised Messiah of the Jews, but he's the Savior of the world. Not just the Son of God sharing crumbs from the table, but he's the bread of life given for you. Jesus is not just some crumbs, but he's a feast for anyone who believes in him. And God, out of his abundant love for you, gave his only Son, the rightful member of his household. Jesus bore your sins on the cross and experienced that cold, silent neglect of the Father so that you could always come to him in prayer and ask him for help with your deepest needs, just as the Canaanite woman did. Christ's body was broken and his blood was shed so that through Jesus, God is not cold and distant, but as near as the pastor who brings you communion. He's not acting as an angry judge, but he's a loving father. He's not stingy, but he gives all his promises to us for forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus rose from the dead and now sits in the place of honor at the table of the Father, his Father in heaven. And he invites you to join him in the banquet of the feast of celebration. He's not too busy, and our concerns are not too petty. We're his children, and we're invited to eat at the table. The Canaanite woman had great faith in Jesus. She may not have known much about Jesus, but she knew enough to believe his promises and know that there was ample blessings even for her. And she understood this when Jesus called her a dog, eating the crumbs from the children's table. If you think about it, it's an interesting image. Maybe you've seen this if you've been around children and dogs. Kids can be pretty messy, and doesn't take long for the dog to figure this out. And parents, well, they can account for this. They don't really sweat it. They know that's just the way it is. So there's plenty of food to account for the little that might fall on the floor, or a lot, depends how messy those kids are. But nobody has to take food from the children for the dog to get more than just a few crumbs. So when Jesus tells the woman that it's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the dog, she understands there's plenty. She also knows that at God's table, even a crumb is a feast, and that God's blessings are abundant. There's plenty for everybody. So God fulfilled his promise to bless even the Gentiles, even us. Jesus said, "O woman, your faith is great. May it be as you desire." Daughter was healed instantly, a crumb from the Lord's table, but a feast for the woman. For us too, there's more than enough. God is generous with his blessings, faithful to his promises. In Christ, you received God's blessings. Yes, he promises to supply all your needs. So he blesses you with food and clothing and shelter, heat in the winter. He has given you your family and your friends. And you receive the great blessings of the feast when we commune. Food, bread and wine, but more than crumbs, more than a small wafer and a sip of wine. It's Jesus' body and his blood. God's promises fulfilled here with us, close, loving, freely given to you. When you participate in the Lord's Supper, you receive Christ's body and blood sacrificed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You receive forgiveness, life, salvation. You receive a foretaste of the feast to come. You receive assurance of your place at the celebration banquet in heaven. More than crumbs, Jesus himself, a feast for all eternity. May the Lord grant you great faith in his promises of forgiveness, salvation, and life with him in heaven. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For new and contrite hearts, that we may receive God's absolution while lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretched estate, yet in the confidence that he disdains nothing he has made and forgives the sins of those who are penitent, let us pray to the Lord. For the church and all pastors in Christ, especially Matthew, our synod president, Timothy, our district president, and Brad, our circuit visitor, for this and every congregation, and for faith to cling to him in adversity, boldness to oppose the devil and resist the flesh, and compassion to serve one another in love, let us pray to the Lord. For hearts eager to overcome brotherly strife among us, that after the example of Jacob with Esau, we would make peace with one another through persistent prayer and humility, let us pray to the Lord. For our leaders, especially Donald, our president, Tony, our governor, and all congressmen, judges, and civil servants, that God would grant them steadfastness and wisdom, and for peace between nations and a spirit of humility and concord among our citizens, let us pray to the Lord. For all who await the healing of the Lord, especially Vicky, Lynn, Anita, Lois, Lewis, Chuck, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Grant, Doris, Matthew, Megan, Mark, Ethel, Bob, Peter, Fred, Harold, Joan, Greg, Linda, Jaden, Rick, Thorfinn, Lacey, Marlis, Marlene, Marilyn, George, and Anne, that God would hear their cries and grant healing in his appointed season, let us pray to the Lord. For all who grieve, especially the family of Jeff Thomas, that God would help them to look to Christ in their sorrow, let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune, that God would receive us in his mercy and enable us to make the good confession, both of our sin of him and of him, our only Savior, and that though it is not right to give the children's bread to dogs, he would lead us to approach him in faith, to eat from our master's table. Let us pray to the Lord. For self-control to flee all immorality, that we might show a godly witness in this world and adorn the gospel with a holy life. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as the adversary continually afflicts us and as a roaring lion walks about seeking to devour us, we implore you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may evermore abide in your grace and be preserved unto everlasting life through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Service continues on page 194 with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri City.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.